This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Lulu Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. I visit today with the author of a book titled The Princess of Ice and the Fallen Angel, subtitle
Rhapsody One,
yes. And joining me from Spain, welcome Elena Nicoleta.
Who are you?
Welcome very much. I'm very grateful to stay in touch with you, and it's a pleasure.
You have the subtitle Rhapsody One. Is that important to your title? What is the importance of that to your title?
Yeah, it's important because the Rhapsody One, the Enchanted book, is important for me because it's not just one book. We have two parts more.
What is often called a trilogy or three parts to a long story. This is 196 pages. What was your thoughts when you began to write this? Who was the individual, the audience, the ideal reader of your book? Is this for younger people or older?
It's for teenagers and old people.
Teenagers specifically and up. And how would you describe your book? This is a fictional work. Is it one that is an adventure? Is it a mystery? Is it science fiction? How would you describe it?
My book is including not all, but the majority of genres we can find in the market, actually, in these days.
And your main character, that is, you describe your character, the lady character, or the female character, as gorgeous, intelligent, and wealthy. Is that the, is that Layla? Bordeneau?
The intelligent, Elena is intelligent, too. But Elena has the paper of the mediator of the story. With a lot of character, personality, is Layla. Layla is a young girl who is very, very, very beautiful, and she thinks that knowledge is freedom.
Yes. Now, I understand from your background that you were born in Romania, and your main character is from Romania.
Yes, Layla is a Romanian girl.
Is there anything similar to the story of Layla and your personal story? Or is it all fiction, all made up?
When I started to write this book, I thought in Romania, my country, like a good place to describe the action, and due to the fact my country has a lot of forest, that is a thing that I like. I enjoy enough when I go to my country every time. I thought it will be very, very good for the story.
So your story takes.
And it's because I love a lot my country.
Romania is a beautiful, beautiful country, and you also describe your main character as an heiress attending a prestigious English school, and then she has a boyfriend, Javier. Yes.
Yeah, Javier is a Spanish pronunciation.
Yes, this is a Spanish pronunciation. In Romania, is that a common name also, Javier or Javier?
Javier, I think.
In Romania? Yes.
Javier is a Spanish name.
It is.
Typical of Romania.
You have a story. When does it take place? Is it in current times, or is this one that is historical in its setting?
It's not. The time is not in the book, the year or something like this. No.
The year is not
this
there?
Is a story. No, this is a story for people who want to imagine the place or the time.
So it's open to this. There are no computers.
Yes, it's open for imagination.
Okay, there are no computers.
In the book, appears two things that we have in current in our days.
No computers or cars in your book.
Cars, yes.
You do
for
have
the moment,
cars.
Computers.
So you haven't.
We haven't got computers for the moment.
All right. So it could be open to interpretation anytime this past century up until the present.
Yes.
What is there a mystery associated with the Princess of Ice and the Fallen Angel?
Yeah, we have a lot of mystery in this story because we have something that Lila makes people think, and this the adrenaline that may make her that can give her superhuman powers.
Oh, superhuman
that
powers.
That is one part of the mystery. And the second part of the mystery is the natural of Adrian.
Ah.
We can see in this rhapsody, he's very different than other boys. And the first part is the presence of supernatural events.
Supernatural events take place.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any action scene that you would describe in your book? Your imagination must have taken you on this journey as you were writing it. Was there a part of your book that had a lot of exciting action in it that is going to really make the reader stand up and take notice?
Yeah. One rainy day after a hard fight, Lila has a result, a terrible wound. She can discover the other face of humanity. Continuing in the ground, some people have chains in their hands and legs. But the most important and relevant, she can see is the spread out Aegean's wings. All the explanation that they need understand is written in an enchanted book. This book was completed by Aegean in a library a few years ago. A lot of questions with no answer, and the fact their lives are in danger makes Lila decide to find the enchanted book. In this way, they arrive at the library and ask for the supernatural section. At the bottom of the building, surrounded by old books, they can feel a dark presence, but it is very strong. A fire. A star that spread in fire is burning the room. Lila and Vivian, paralyzed by the strength aloe, are hearing of its speech. The monster repeat again to Lila, "You are the only one, and the importance of their destiny." At the end, it throws the wanted book and disappears. But our protagonists discover, unfortunately, that the arrival of a supernatural creature has a price. They found the rebellion dead, and the scar body on top of her desktop. One thing more is missing: her heart. This is the most interesting part of the book.
Ah. Where her heart is missing. Is she still living, or does she actually die in this scene?
The librarian is dead. Is the only person for the moment is dead in the book.
Ah. Do you also include London as part of the scenery for your story?
Yeah, because London has something that I don't know describe, but it's enchanting. It's very beautiful.
There is some mystery to London, isn't there?
Yes.
And there is a final scene. Is it a scene that you would care to describe?
The scene that I describe is the final scene.
The one that you just described or just read or talked about was the final scene?
Yes.
Wonderful. You have a great imagination. How long did it take to complete this first in the series, The Princess of Ice and the Fallen Angel?
All the trilogy right now is complete, but in 1 year, every year I will be publishing a new part of the story, and the time that that takes me to write this book is 1 year.
1 year, that's remarkable. Mm-hmm. Is this your first of the novels that you have written?
Yes. It's my first novel.
First published book. Now, because you do a wonderful job of speaking English, did writing this, was that a challenge to put your thoughts into English, or did you get some help with that?
For writing book in English.
Yes.
the book was written for first time in Spanish.
In Spanish.
And after that, my editorial translated in English.
Wonderful. You've done a wonderful job. This is 196 pages, a book that should appeal to teenagers and older. It is a mystery. It is a suspense. It has a little bit of everything for anyone who enjoys a good read. The title of the book, again, is The Princess of Ice and the Fallen Angel. And this is Rhapsody 1. Section 2 and 3, or episode 2 and 3, is coming down the road, because this will be a trilogy. Elena, where can we get copies of your book?
Copies?
Yes, where can my listeners buy your book, purchase your book?
When can my listeners buy the book?
Correct.
Well, the most important website is the web of Lulu. And the others are Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and a lot of websites that are available in all the world.
Wonderful. And I'm sure that a website will be coming up shortly. Or do you have one already? I think you do. You have a website completed.
Yes. The name of the website is the name of the book in Spanish. La Princesa de Hielo y el Ángel Caído.
Easy for you to say.
If you search my name, just Elena Nicoleta Busoyu, I think the second website is my website.
Very good, and they can do a search just as you've mentioned. Let me just slow that down and spell it out for my listeners. Elena is spelled E-L-E-N-A, second name Nicoleta. Nicoleta, and Busoyu is Busoyu. Busoyu, thank you for joining me today from Spain. I know you have a busy schedule, and look forward to talking with you again when the next in the series is completed.
Thank you very much. It is a pleasure for me staying in touch with you, and I hope the. And I want to see, I love a lot my team.
Yes, you also mentioned that you wanted to dedicate some of your work to some friends or some associates. You have a song that you prefer or like. What is that song, and do you know the words?
This song is for my editorial team that I want to make, I would like to make the dedication of. I love the song I Believe in You by Celine Dion and In Vivo.
Great song, great words. Thank you for sharing your heart and for sharing your background story into this book. Elena, is there anything else that we should mention about your book?
It's important to remember this book is on the story. So each character and set are just a fantasy.
Again, the title is The Princess of Ice and the Fallen Angel, and this is Rhapsody 1, the first in a trilogy. Our guest, Elena Nicoleta Busoyu, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Yes, for independent book publishing Lulu Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Congratulations on being the proud owner of an adorable, soft, cuddly, sweet-smelling, smiling, cooing, hungry, tired, gassy, screaming little bundle of joy. So now what? Where's the owner's manual for this thing? Where are my instructions? Right here. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Infant care specialist Blythe Lipman has worked with babies for over 20 years and works extensively with new parents, providing workshops, in-home visits, tips, and daily phone calls to ease those frazzled nerves. With Baby and Toddler Instructions, you can get the advice you need on how to survive and enjoy your baby's first year. For more information on Blythe and how she can help you, go to babyinstructions.com. From 32 ways to stop a baby from crying to 14 ways to get a baby to eat and so much more. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Westbo Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled A Leg to Stand On, and my author, Lois Olson, joins me from northern Michigan, where as I'm doing this recording, it is a snow day and getting ready to get colder. Lois, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Jay. Appreciate it.
You have a remarkable personal history. Served in the military during the Vietnam era as support staff stateside, and raised six children who had special needs. You are taking it easy now and decided to be an author. Share with my listeners a little of the background into the story and the legacy of A Leg to Stand On.
Well, the story occurred about 2.5 years ago now. I just happened to go over to some friends' home that have a farm, and the children met me in the driveway that their goat had a broken leg.
Mm-hmm.
And the in the background is Kip, their big collie mixed dog that has three legs. And as an amputee, I really connect with Kip.
Right.
And so anyway, the story proceeds as the children and I splint the goat's leg, and she's doing well. They take her out to the barn, and during that time, Kip comes to me, and he's a very standoffish dog, but he comes to me, and kind of the highlight of the story is how he comforts me because of my frustration as an amputee. And
he picked up on the fact that you had some physical challenges just as he had. Is that
Yes, he did.
Fascinating. And how long did this incident take place, and why did that inspire you to share it with the world?
Well, the whole incident took place probably in an hour and a half. And as I reflected on the story, I realized that I needed to write it down because it was just such an amazing occurrence with the dog and his relationship to me. And so over the last 2 years, it's morphed into a longer story, and eventually this children's book developed from it.
It's 26 pages. Did it take 2 years to actually fine-tune the story and tell the elements that you have shared, or was it a little sooner than that?
Well, I'd put it away. I'd take it out. I'd work on it, clean it up, do some editing on it. But the story, as it's written, is how it occurred. I didn't embellish it in any way. It that's just the way it happened.
What is the motivation for sharing the story? Besides the fact that it is remarkable that Kip became closely identified with your situation, is there more to the story than that?
Well, there are not very many books, especially children's books, even that I know of, that deal with the subject of limb loss. And I wanted to have this book as an encouragement to children that are either facing limb loss or already have, their families, and especially veterans that are coming back from the Middle East. So many of them have suffered limb losses because of the issues going on overseas. And I really wanted a book dealing with amputation and limb loss. So that was kind of my motivation.
Wonderful. You have also, I don't know if you're currently raising goats, but are you raising goats? And if so, what is the, I guess, the breed, and what is their unique personality?
I raised Saanen dairy goats for about 25 years. And after losing my leg, I wanted to get my goats again, and so I started with a few and realized that it was just too much of a challenge for me. I wanted to be the best one-legged goat farmer in Michigan, but it just wasn't to be, and so I had to set that chapter of my life aside. Goats are phenomenally funny, and besides that, they're very giving. In fact, you know, as far as their milk is concerned, their personalities, being pets, they just have a wide range of interest.
Interesting for me, I live in a very warm climate, as I mentioned to you earlier, and have always had a curiosity about goats. My wife has decided that I am not curious about goats, so we don't have one. I'm not a pet person in the general sense of the word, but they sound like a wonderful little creature that might enjoy the country where I'm at, in 8 acres of lots of underbrush and stuff they could munch on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they would, but keep them away from your garden and your apple trees and your wife's roses.
Oh, well, that won't be a problem. We have mostly weeds and underbrush, so that would be that'd be easy to do. Tell a little also of your personal journey with your six children. That is a fascinating side note to the fact of what you've included in your book, because it contributes in some ways, indirectly.
Right, yes. There are a number of brothers and sisters in the story, and so I have a real heart for children. That's one of the reasons that I go over to the Cook Farm to be with the children. My husband and I decided that we wanted a family, and it appeared as though adoption would be the way that it would happen. Our first son, having some special needs, kind of broke us into the possibility of having another special needs child. And our two daughters arrived from India, and then a son that had polio came from Korea. And then there was, because we were already accustomed to the needs that a paraplegic would have, we were not afraid to take on a second child that was paraplegic. And then that led into a third son from Brazil that also was paraplegic. So that made number six. So it was a very mixed bag, especially speaking three different languages in our home at the same time at one point.
That
made life very interesting.
That must have been a fascinating view for the observers on the outside, trying to figure out what in the world was going on with this family, trying to speak three different languages and get things accomplished. And yet your children have grown up and are adults and independent livers and doing well.
Yes, they're doing very well, yes.
Phenomenal.
They're all able to live by themselves and get along in society, and I'm very proud of all six of them.
Congratulations, and thank you for your contribution to their lives and others. This story also should do that. What do you feel is the underlying theme? What is it, the message, the one message that you want to reinforce to the reader and to the children who will one day get a copy of this book?
I believe that it's my initial motivation in having a book that talks about disabilities, particularly limb loss, and how animals play a great part in that, to instill just a companionship and a compassion that the children have toward their animals.
And to introduce this book in a couple of sentences or paragraphs to our listeners, how would you get them interested in getting a copy of A Leg to Stand On?
First of all, I think that one of the initial storylines would be just the compassion for animals. That would attract a great many readers. Secondly, the theme of disabilities, whether it be Kip being a three-legged dog, or Myrtle the goat with her broken leg, or myself as an amputee, a leg amputee, being able to convey the fact that we can all work together and we each have a part in the lives of the children in the story, that they play a very important role.
Were there any challenges, Lois, in getting the illustrations to match the storyline or getting the book to print?
I'm really glad that you asked that about the illustrator. I think she did an amazing job of capturing the story in her pictures. I think that a reader could go through and be able to follow the story just by the pictures alone. She happens to be my cousin. She lives in Virginia. And so we were able to communicate the story to pictures, and she just has done a very commendable job.
Very colorful and a fascinating story. I think one that is unique to the marketplace. I don't know of any other stories that deal with this particular topic and with this moral, if you want to call it that. The title of the book, again, is A Leg to Stand On, author Lois Olson, O-L-S-O-N, if you're doing a search online. Lois, where do my listeners get a copy of A Leg to Stand On?
Currently, they can contact either West Bow Press, which is it's a division of Zondervan Publishers, and West Bow Press is in Indiana. Otherwise, they can contact me directly. My email address is Olson, O-L-S-O-N, 7525, @hotmail.com. And I'd be more than happy to send copies out. The price is $12 and then $2 for shipping. And I'd be glad to make those available to anybody that would like to share in this book.
And I'm assuming, maybe I shouldn't assume, but I'm making the assumption, that you will also personally autograph these books if they write you personally.
Absolutely, yes. Right. Yeah,
there you go.
I like to make them dedicated to whomever, and I'd be more than happy to send them out autographed.
There's your answer, listeners. If you can't do a search online and find Lois Olson, you can write her directly and get an autographed, personalized copy of the book, A Leg to Stand On. You also can do a search and go to your local bookseller, and they can order this book in, A Leg to Stand On, by request. So thanks again for sharing your time with me, Lois, and sharing your story.
Well, thank you very much, Jay. I appreciate the time that I've had to share it with you.
Fantastic. For Indie Book Publishing, West Bow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Trafford Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The title of the book is Buffalo Soldiers, South of the Rio Grande. And our author who joins me from Mexico, visiting there at this moment, William C. Moten. Mr. Moten, welcome to the program, sir.
I'm glad to be with you.
I have looked at some of your history. You have had interaction with people in the movie industry because of your connections with Mexico, I guess. You speak Spanish as well as English. You studied in Mexico. Now, this story is a fictional work, but it's based on some fact as well. Tell the listeners what Buffalo Soldiers is about.
Buffalo Soldiers were the African-American. It was four regiments. It was the 9th and the 10th and the 24th and the 25th. They were organized right after the Civil War in New Orleans. They were to go out west and to help the settlers settle along the west, and also to guard the railroads while they were being constructed against Indian attacks.
Hmm. Your history, your mother somehow got the impression that you were a storyteller. So this is a story, correct?
Right, this is a story.
And how long did
it take? It's based on historical fact because, at the beginning of the book, I explained that General Pershing's expedition to catch Pancho Villa was in 1916. Most people have never even heard about anything like that. A lot of people have heard about Pancho Villa, especially, let's say, the old generation. But this was prior, well, it wasn't prior to the First World War. The First World War was going on at the time, but the United States went into Mexico after Pancho Villa had come into the United States, and he had attacked American armory. So the Buffalo Soldiers were part of the expedition into Mexico.
Mm.
Altogether, 20,000 American troops eventually were sent into Mexico. They never caught Pancho Villa, but they were down there for almost a year. And my story, it's fictionalized, but there was an incident where some of the American troops had been into a shootout with Mexican government troops because the Mexican government didn't really want Americans coming into the invading their territory, even though they were fighting Pancho Villa and other bands of revolutionaries. So it wound up being a conflict, but the Americans wound up being caught in between the revolutionaries and the federal government, and it was it's interesting. It's really interesting.
What specific time frame you talk about General Pershing and Pancho Villa? Is it the early 1900s when this story takes place?
1916.
1916 specifically.
Of course, the United States went into the war 1917, the First World War, but this was prior to going for the United States going into the war. The war in Europe had started in 1914, so it was going on at that particular time. What's interesting in my book, I explain that the German and the Austrian were trying to get the Mexicans to attack the United States, to keep the United States out of the war in Europe.
Who are your main characters? You have, three or four main characters in this novel?
The main character is a captain, Gilmore. He's not really, it's kind of a put-together character based on someone coming out of the Spanish-American War, which was in 1898. Okay, I have a original Buffalo soldier who had been an old-timer. He just kind of tells about some of the things that had happened to them early in his life. And then I have an African-American woman. Her name is Adrian. She comes into Mexico. You know, it's kind of a she has like a dubious reason for coming, but she meets a revolutionary who was, he's not typical of the revolutionaries because he comes from a rich family. Most of the revolutionary were just kind of poor people.
Mm-hmm.
But he happens to, the spirit of the times, you had a lot of people with ideological interest in helping the poor. So he kind of came into with Pancho Villa and the revolutionaries, and he helps them. So, yeah, you know, I have a part where they kind of, you know, and all the interactions are really based on human interactions.
Sure. In your story that you have penned, would you consider it more of a character-driven story, or is there a lot of action, or a combination of both?
It'll be a combination of both. I wrote this with the intention of, like I said, retelling the stories of the Buffalo Soldiers, because I have another story I'm working on at the particular time. But it's really unbelievable that even when I talk to people, most people don't know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, they've heard of Buffalo Soldiers, but they just don't know their significance.
Few people know about Buffalo Soldiers from Bob Marley, but I was surprised that most African Americans don't even know who they were.
Wow, so that's incredible! Now, chapter two, just to give our listeners a little bit of a taste of your writing style, I like the way you have opened chapter two. Dawn was just breaking over the hillside, throwing an amber glow across the dozens of tents pitched in camp. A bugler in his neatly pressed uniform blew reveille, signaling the beginning of a new day. Nice setup. I like the way you've done that. What do you think is the most exciting scene that you have created, Bill? William?
I believe there's a shootout between... See, this is another interesting fact about that particular time. You had different bands of revolutionaries, and they were attacked as they leave this town, going to the stronghold where they're going to exchange prisoners. Some of the Mexican prisoners for some American prisoners. But on the way, they are like waylaid by another band of revolutionaries. So it's a pretty big shootout there. That's, that's actually pretty interesting. And then during the middle of the story, I have action between the African-American troops with the Mexicans. And one of the biggest things is they don't know much about each other. So that's another interesting aspect of the book.
Did you have to do a lot of research, William, to get the facts straight on the time frame and what was happening, or was this something that's just a natural evolution of your personal curiosity?
I really didn't know for a long time. I was living in Mexico because I went to college in Mexico a long time ago, and I happened to read about the American troops coming into Mexico after Pancho Villa. It's kind of very known about the people in the average person, you know, in the countryside had heard about their hero, Pancho Villa, going into the United States. Okay, about General Pershing coming in after him. I didn't know about the Buffalo Soldiers. It took me a long time to find out about that. They were American troops, but I didn't know about that. Then I found out that General Pershing, his first command had been the African-American troops in the old the frontier days.
Amazing. So, how long did it take you to get all of the storyline together?
I originally wrote it thinking I was on I was living out in Hollywood at the time. I knew Sylvester Stallone when he was writing Rocky One. Tell you how many years ago we talked about. But since then, I wrote different outlines for different books. But well, when I worked on that, it was just like evolutionary, and I have a lot of other little facts on of the times of the African Americans that I kind of put into the book. But I kind of understood, what you know, that basically 1916, 1917, what happened, because I had been in international relations, but I was really had been heavy into history when I was a kid, so I had some idea of what was going on.
When you began to write this, or when you finished it, who did you think would, besides the connections you have had in the past in Hollywood that are in the movie industry, besides those guys, who do you think would enjoy this read?
It's written for people who like to read adventure action. It wouldn't necessarily be written necessarily for African-Americans, but it's written for someone who was interested in reading adventure action, excitement, and romance.
Well, you threw it all in there, huh?
I saw a lot of books, a lot of movies when I was a kid, from John Wayne to Imagine Everybody. In those days, they made a lot of movies like that. And I wanted to have the African-Americans in a situation that was similar.
And the hero of the story, of course.
The hero of the story, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a vital aspect and a key element to what you have done, the Buffalo Soldiers. Is there a sequel coming our way, perhaps, William?
I'm thinking about, I'm working on it would be called a prequel, because it was something that happened before that particular time. And I could write 10 stories about the Buffalo Soldiers, because I do a lot about what they did from the 1870s until the 1920s. You know, I would have a lot of information about that. And then maybe I'll inspire somebody else to pick up on the idea and write about it also.
Yeah. Right.
At my age right now, I'm not necessarily interested in doing a lot, but I still keep busy.
I think that would be an excellent choice, because I don't know that there are many stories in the marketplace that deal with this period or with this particular story, especially from a fictional standpoint.
Mm-hmm. That's what I know, is because I go to Boston, Mary. I almost live there, you know, and I read all the time. It's just such a small amount written about an African American experience, and so especially from the view of soldiers and different historical situations like that.
Introduce your book, Buffalo Soldiers, to my listening audience in a couple of paragraphs. Let them know why they need their own personal copy of Buffalo Soldiers South of the Rio Grande.
It would tell them a different part of a era that has been mostly forgotten, and they would be, you know, enlightened, and they would be entertained also.
Have you got two or three words that would describe your book in short detail?
Fictional adventure action.
Fictional adventure action, and I understand there might be a little love interest thrown in there as well.
Action, excitement, and romance.
All right. Excellent. Thank you for joining me today and sharing the background into this particular book, 230 pages or so. Excitement. It's a page-turner, as they say, or a story that will grab their attention and hold it. The title again is Buffalo Soldiers, the subtitle South of the Rio Grande, and our author William C. Moten has joined me from Mexico. Thank you, sir, for being a part of today's program. Tell my listeners, where can they get their own copy of Buffalo Soldiers?
At this moment, it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I know that, and then they have it on the Kinder. They have it on that. By the way, I happen to be south of the Rio Grande.
You sure are. And doing some research and family time with immersion into the culinary delights, I'm guessing. I certainly would be if I was in Mexico. Thank you for joining me today. They also can do a search under your name, William C. Moton, and find out what's happening with Buffalo Soldiers. And if there is a prequel that comes, I have a feeling you have many stories yet to tell. So thank you for sharing your insight and for sharing time with me today.
Okay, Jay, I'm happy to meet you, and I hope we'll be talking about some of my other books in the future.
Well, honored to visit with you as well. For Indie Book Publishing, Trafford Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.